I mean, Eddie Gonzalez, man of the people.
Absolutely.
Sacramento's finest.
Sacramento's finest. And I was saying it's a trip out in NYC because I'm looking out the window in the background. The sun's gone. it's that time of year. The sun is, it's October. The sun is gone. We out here. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like 98 degrees out here today. So
it's hella hot, bro.
Hey, don't do that. Don't tell me about that right now. I don't want to hear it.
No, you get tired of it, bro. It's been
all weather out here.
No, it's been 90 degrees for like 8 months straight, bro. You'd be tired of it by now.
It's a little obnoxious at this point.
Yeah.
Nah, we got that good fall weather. Right? We got all four seasons. I enjoy it, actually. I always tell people the summer is way worse to me. It's so humid and nasty, and it just rains every other day. It's weird. So
did you get your?
I'm enjoying it, man.
Have you gotten your official, like, NYC car where you're just agitated with people walking down the street and like get an AF your mother, get away from me? Like,
it's like I've realized. Once I lived here long enough and I start my doorbell, forgive me.
You good.
Kevin's here.
That's my Chipotle. I realized that, like, when I go to other places and people are walking crazy slow, I'm like, oh yeah, y'all gotta move. Like, yeah. Come on, pick it up. Or I'm on the escalator and they don't slide to the side so I can run down it. So I'm like, all right, come on.
So move to the
every
right.
Day, Complex office is in Times Square, so I deal with that every. Oh, I know a tourist when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're not from here. Yeah. We crossed the street right now. It's cool. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough. And just don't do what Ebro did. Ebro moved to New York.
Oh, Ebro, New York. With
me and Ebro went to the same high school. That man moved to New York, and it sounds like he went to, you know, Brooklyn High.
PS 74.
Yeah, Jesus Christ the King or whatever it is out there.
Like, yo, shout out Ebro, man. I grew up listening to Ebro and all of that on 102.5 Cass FM, right?
Yep.
It's crazy to see him where he's at now doing what he's doing. But, yes, if you had not known, if you didn't listen to the radio way back then, you would think he was from Brooklyn, like he's been there for forever. So shout out to him though, man. He's the GOAT.
Hot 97's original Ebro, right? Hey,
the crazy thing, now that I think about it, you would know a little bit more than that, because you know, has Ebro spent more time in New York than he did in Sacramento?
I think at this point, yes.
Yeah, he probably did, because he was in Sac. He went to the Bomb. He left the Bomb pretty early, went to Portland. And then Portland to New York, so you got to take a few years off of the sack because he was in Portland. And then, he's probably been there 20 years at this point.
So
close to it.
It's got to be close to that.
Close to 20 years.
Yeah, the reality show was 2004, I think.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Was it
this
really?
It's something like that.
Oh,
this
man.
Is Hot 97. Come on.
What a life for that man. But look, he's everywhere, man.
He is. You know, he's doing his thing, man. Yeah, Apple Music, man. Come on now. What? Man.
Yeah, he's come on now.
You hyped Hoop Season's back?
Man, I'm like hyped but like stressed. You know, that's the work season for real. But I'm excited to get to see all these guys and they do jerseys. We actually saw some basketball today.
Yeah.
Some Russell Westbrook and hit a three his first shot, of course, ironically. But I'm always excited for basketball, man. But we in the middle of basketball too. Don't forget, we got the WNBA playoffs.
That's right.
I got a new champion we're gonna be crowning soon. So it's getting dicey. But I'm always happy to have some basketball back. So NBA, I'm excited. Like, I think this year it's as wide open as it's been in a long time. I say that.
So I saw one of your tweets earlier during media day, and it was about the Suns. I think it was, obviously you got the KD connect, but they talked about the starting five, and they're going to have Tyus Jones starting and KD at the four. I was like, I don't know why they putting my boy at the four. Maybe a stretch four. I get all that, but and that was one of the things. Like, when people talk about Tyus Jones and the Suns, good player, good addition, but you know me, Eddie, I think about the closing lineup, right? And when you're closing, you're going to have KD at the four. Doesn't really bother me, but Brad at the three, like, Brad going to be guarding threes now, and what depends on the situation with Nurk, like, what does that look like? That's the one that I haven't been able to wrap my head around when you talk about the Suns possibly being better this year.
Yeah, when people talk about positionless basketball, like, it's a little bit of a myth. Like, one of the old phrases that I like is, you play whatever position you guard, not whatever position you think you do. You know what I mean? Like, we, a lot of times we put them in a box. Oh, if the guy who dribbles up the court, he's the point guard. But then you got Draymond Green saying, well, I'm actually the point guard on this team. And functionally, the plays start with him, stuff like that. So positions are weird. When I look at that team, it's about size to me, though. Mm-hmm. Like, look at the NBA as it is now. Like, we're starting a 6'8 and up league for a lot of these teams. Look at the team that just won a championship. All them dudes are 6'5 and up. And the two 6'5 guys are two of the best defenders in the league, and they defend multiple positions. So it didn't matter. And so when you out west, even more so, you deal with that because you got these big, rangy teams. And now you got a team that's playing three guards. So that's my concern there. And I love Kevin, obviously. And I think Kevin rebounds better than he's given credit for. And he also defends as a big better. He's given credit for, protects the rim, stuff like that. But you have five guys that had the rebound. And in the playoffs, like you mentioned, and when you finish in games and you got to get those, if three of them dudes are 6'3", 6'4", it's just a little tougher job keeping guys off the rim, off the backboard. And then what I always wonder, I see a lot with Kevin, that team switches all game. So now your big is out on the perimeter, maybe Kevin's out on the perimeter. So now your back line of your defense is 6'4", Grayson Allen, right? Or Tyus Jones. And it's all that stuff, all those little details matter. So that's what concerns me with that. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll win a good amount of regular season games. But, yeah, when you play in the Denver Nuggets, who they've lost to 2 years ago, or you playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who they lost to last year, and you got dudes rebounding like they do on those teams, that can hurt you.
What do you think the West looks like? Everyone's, oh, the West is, oh, it's just a gauntlet. Oh, it's just nasty. Like, what's your assessment of the West, especially now that it shook up a little bit in Minnesota?
I think it's a little overblown. The depth,
thank
right?
you. Like, thank you.
The teams after four last year, like, did they have any real championship chances? I think the West is, the three OGs are there, right? So we'll give them all credit of, like, they could just win a series single-handedly, but that has not happened in some time. Right. So to say that is saying a lot. I think the Thunder got way better just on the fringes of what they do. They added pieces they absolutely needed. I think, look, the Nuggets are the Nuggets. They're just going to matter as long as they have the best player. The Mavericks, I think, got better. Some addition by subtraction, but I think, you know, they'll just be better after a year together. They added Clay. But after that, it's a crapshoot. You know, people were talking about, like, you know, the 10 and 11 teams. Like, the Rockets aren't some, like, juggernaut to me. And that's the team that just slipped out the playoffs. It's not like it's crazy deep. It's a little bit deeper than the East, but I don't think it's just this crazy gauntlet out there. I agree with you, man.
It's funny you bring up the Rockets because I agree. I don't think they're, like, no juggernaut. I've always been a fan of Jalen Green. But I keep seeing these clips of Reed Shepard, and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is going on here? Reed Shepard might be my early favorite to win Rookie of the Year. He looking nice.
Shout out to Jay-Z, man. You know, we always going to rep the California boys when they make it to the league, man. And Jalen, that's the homie. So he had a great finish to his season last year. I think got to really flash what he is. They haven't got him and Alfred over there, haven't got those – extension, so who knows, you know, where they stand with the organization. But a lot of times a young team like that, you just have a bunch of young guys and your vet, you know, you have got a couple vets over there, but we're not talking about like mega stars over there, young guys.
Right.
A lot of times that plays out exactly how it sounds. Young guys making mistakes and not quite winning enough games. So that's what you got from them last year. I think there'll be some growth, obviously, from Jalen, from Alfie. And I think they will be better. I think Jabari Smith is a guy to look out for, too, who has been very talented and just kind of needs to put it all together. Yeah. But, again, even then, we're talking about 8 seed, right. 7 seed. Mm-hmm. Like, is this a team that's going to really threaten the Nuggets or the Mavericks or the Thunder? Or, you know, when I look at the West, the team I'm like, that's going to be the team that's going to maybe remind people is the Grizzlies. Because I'm a big Ja Morant guy. I'm huge on what he brings in close games. I'm huge on what he brings and the tenacity he brings to that team. He makes offense for them. So that's the team that's like, yo, we forgot about them last year because they was like the most injured team of all time statistically. But they have a megastar in him. They're bringing Desmond Bane back, obviously. They added some nice pieces.
Got Marcus on there. Marcus going to be there another year.
They got Marcus on there, and if they stay healthy, that's going to be the team that I think could shake things up, maybe get into that top four. But, I mean, the Clippers, they have their own issues. You know, the Warriors, who knows with them? Like,
so your hometown team don't exist no more, huh, dog?
I was waiting for you to bring them up, man.
Look, just like the national media, just man. Like, just like the national.
Eddie gone national on us, man.
You see how they mentioned them in that 10-11 group? You know, I got higher hopes for these guys. Like, don't get me wrong, man. But I mean, I think that's the team, the other team that's potential to take a leap. I love DeMar, and y'all know I'm like the biggest De'Aaron Fox fan, so. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for all that to come together too, and you know you got Coach locked in now. Yeah, it scared me a little bit with that one. But you got Coach locked in, so
yeah.
I'm ready to see where they take that as well. And then you know, De'Aaron's entering his prime. This is when it's really time to turn up and be that next level player. Spoiler alert: we got our top 50 players list on the way at complex.com. There's a little up there, man. Okay. I think y'all be pleased with where he's at. I'm gonna need y'all to connect me with him. I want to see what he thinks when this list comes out.
Absolutely.
We got three players on that list.
I don't think DeMar made it.
You got three. DeMar, you don't think DeMar?
I think he should. I think he should. But I've seen people disrespect him over the summer, so I didn't know.
Nah, there's three players on the list.
Okay.
All five Celtics made the list. I'll say that much.
Man.
Wow.
So look, check this out. I'm not saying the Celtics aren't the favorites. I think the Knicks are right there though. I think the Knicks are as close as anybody's been in the last year and a half to the Celtics with the Karl Anthony Towns acquisition. I think it fits.
So the Knicks are just outright better than Philly. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'll say that partly because we haven't necessarily seen Philly. Like, give me a month and I see how it all works out. They got, like, damn near a whole new roster. And if I see him, I'm like, oh, man, this look a little better than I thought. Maybe I might change it. But, like, right now, as is, with what I've been able to see, I think Cat fits perfectly. I think Mikal, OG, all them dudes. I think even the subtraction of two players like Randall and Dante, not talent-wise, but just being able to say, we got seven guys that know their role, know when they're going to play. I think there's value in that. And I think they're right up there with Boston.
I think for them it's defense, right? Like, and not to say that Cat can't defend, but they have Mikal and OG, but a lot of your defense is that center position. And they got a lot of great with that last year with Isaiah and then Mitch when he was healthy. But the problem is for them is, they had to guard Joel. They're going to have to guard Joel in a series. And so now are you going to play another center? Are you going to play Cat? You're going to guard him with him all series. They put OG on him at different times last year. I wonder about that. But he's a perfect fit for them on offense.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Like, they're going to be – they might have the best offense in the league, you know, especially the way those stats are collected and it's shooting percentages and it's all this stuff. But they're going to play five out all year long, all they can. They're going to run great pick and roll with Jalen Brunson, and they're gonna have shooters all around. So they're gonna spread out and they're gonna get those shots up all year. So they might end up with the best offense statistically in the league. Don't be shocked if they play it that way. I do wonder about their defense. When you have a guy as little as Jalen and he tries, but you gotta hide him. There's just no way around it. And then you got Cat. We don't know what defense we're gonna get from him. He's foul heavy. You know, Mitchell Robinson, I think, still not healthy, so we gotta get him back, get him right. They got Jericho Sims there, but they clearly don't trust them that much. So, like, they got a lot going on that they got to figure out with that defense, because they're going to have to play the Bostons and the Phillies, and they're going to have to play Giannis. They're going to deal with him. They're going to have to deal with the Pacers and that offense they play, and they already bumped heads with them. So, look, the East ain't no punk, man. Like, as I was saying, like, yeah, the West is maybe a little bit deeper because after that it gets a little dicey, but the East ain't no joke. That second round in the East will be a bloodbath for sure.
Let's stay with the Knicks for a second. Don't let me forget. I need y'all to talk me off a ledge regarding this trade. But I want to stay with the Knicks because Eddie wrote about Jalen and Josh Hart over on Complex. And what's dope about that is I had just discovered the mode of one thing. Like maybe 2 weeks ago, I had just told KC about it. I was like, Macy's just launched this thing. I think that the designers for the current line, they're black designers from Brooklyn Circus and so on. And I knew that Jalen and Josh Hart were a part of this.
Yeah, it was cool talking with them and hearing about Motor One. Like, you know, they're really into it. And to be two kind of like unassuming guys, they really poured into that. And getting to meet them and catch their vibe and see how chill they were. Like, I put it like this. Jalen showed up early, which kind of surprised me. And then it was like he had the option to go, like, in a green room and chill, like, with whoever he came with, or it's like, yo, you just wait here. He just sat there and talked basketball with us for like 30 minutes while we waited for Josh Hart. So they definitely impressed me, and the stuff they got with Motor One is dope. I asked for a bunch. They sent me some gear.
Yeah, I bought like five pieces from it, and it's affordable. Like Brooklyn Circus is expensive, and the fact that these designers are working to create something more affordable is pretty fire.
Nah, it was cool, and they had a great event out here. It's a spot called Classic Car Club, so they had like a, you know, kind of like cocktail hour essentially, but there's like these Ferraris and these Porsches. It was dope, and they were cool, man, and you can tell that their camaraderie, like, it carries on to the court, and it helps them that, you know, they've known each other years now since college, and you know, they're running jokes like Josh was the bully over there in Villanova. He fought all of them at all different times and stuff, so you know, I was actually shocked meeting them how small they were. And I don't mean that like offensively, but like, yo, you're killing the NBA at this size. This is nuts. Yeah. And then same for Josh, you out rebounded Joel Embiid for a playoff series. You're all of 6'4", if that. Like, that's crazy. But those dudes have motor. And then, you know, the thing I told Jalen is like, you've probably been small forever, so you know how to use it. And he was breaking it down like, yeah, you know, I'm faster than these guys, but also that also means I get to stop faster than these dudes too. So, you know, if I break a dude down who's 6'8", I know I can also pump fake him and let him fly by because he can't do that. Like, he was breaking it down like a science. So, you know, I love that team, though. I love what they put together there. It's just about getting over the next hump for them. And they're right there. You know, if they see Boston next, last year and OG's healthy, who knows? But that was the champs they were right against, and they're a step away.
You know, hearing you talk about that interview you did and the piece that you were able to do, it's on a macro level. It's just why I love the NBA. Like, there's so much more to the culture of the NBA than just the game. You know what I mean? The guys working with designers and, you know, Honor the Gift. And Steph and De'Aaron just took their shoe over to China. It's so much more than just the game. Sometimes you wish it would just get back to the game a little bit. Like, you're like, hey, can we just talk about basketball? But it's something that the other leagues haven't been able to put a grasp on and, like, allow their players to do. And just little stuff like that, man. I just it's another reason why I love the NBA.
I go back and forth like you. Like, sometimes I just want to see basketball. Mm-hmm. But there's so much to the culture of the sport, and there is a culture of this sport, I think. And the way these guys are able to kind of spread their wings and grow. And I think what a lot of people forget is, and we're all a little older here, so we could say this and we know, but like, you don't know who the hell you are when you're 20. And so we're watching these dudes figure out who they are in the most pivotal time in their lives. Mm-hmm. And they have endless resources to do that. Mm-hmm. So you see a guy like Jeremy Grant who discovers he really likes art while he's playing in the NBA. And it's like, he's really into fashion, like European fashion. And that's happening in the middle of the career. I talked to Jason Tatum about this one time. He was like, man, I didn't even know I wanted to do TV until we started doing it. Now I got to explore like what I can do in the entertainment world. I was just trying to hoop. Mm-hmm. And so, like, again, these dudes are finding themselves out in what should be your college years, your formative years. Right. I didn't know what I was going to do at 25. You know what I'm saying? So it's dope to watch them do that.
Yeah.
So this is a thought. This isn't a take.
Okay.
But this is a thought on the
trade. Talk you off the ledge, right?
Yeah, well, I think so. I don't know. You tell me. Okay. So the Knicks got the best player in this deal. Karl-Anthony Towns is the best player in this deal. But convince me that Minnesota didn't get better with Julius and Dante than New York got with Karl-Anthony Towns. Is that too much?
I like that.
No, I feel like this deal, it's one of those win-win things, I guess. Like, I mean, I think it'll prove to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this actually really helps Minnesota. I had a lot of questions, Eddie, about Minnesota going into the season. I just wasn't sure that – I thought they performed at their highest possible level last year. I wasn't sure that they would be able to do it again. I thought there was a little bit of a roster imbalance. I thought the fact that Naz Reid won the Sixth Man of the Year award because he essentially started at the end of the year was a bit kind of strange. And now they've kind of rectified that. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's like it's not – I'm not questioning whether the Knicks are good or anything like that. I just kept looking at Minnesota like maybe Minnesota actually got better than the Knicks got with this deal.
I'm not too far away from you. And part of my beef with the convo about this trade is how people are treating Julius Randle. Like, I don't think Julius Randle was a megastar by any means. I think he has his flaws like most players do. But we get too stuck on like the archetype of you either a shooter or you're a ball handler or like you're if you can't shoot, you're useless and all this stuff. First off, Julius Randle can shoot. Like, he's not Klay Thompson. He's not Cat. Mm-hmm. But he shot the ball well in this league, and he's scored well in this league. I think when you look at the Wolves and what they needed some secondary offense bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they're in games, and they're needing Conley to break people down on off the dribble and drive and get defenses moving and stuff. Like, well, now you have that guy. Like, Ant is incredible. One of my favorites in the league. One of everybody's favorites. But he needs some help on offense. You're talking about a team who starts and plays a guy, and we could talk about Rudy Gobert all day, but, like, he only can offer you so much offense. You have to create offense on that team. So I think they added something with that. And Cat wasn't giving them that. Yes, he was scoring, but he wasn't creating and breaking down defenses like what they need. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they went. Dante's good. He'll be good on that price tag. And, like, you know, we're not even talking cap ramifications right now. Apparently that's part of it, too. They freed up a bunch of money early. Now they can keep Naz. They can keep other guys. I think they got good just as well. People are worried about the attitude and stuff like that. I don't – like, that stuff, like, that's beyond me because it's like at the end of the day, these dudes are pros. They're going to show up and play basketball. Like, Julius Randle's not going to show up Anthony Edwards on the court. Like, right. Why are we concerned? Right. Y'all acting like he's going to go take the ball from him and freeze Anthony Edwards out. Like, what are we talking about? Right. You know what I'm saying? So right. I think both teams improve in a weird way. I don't know if they improve more, like, because the cat fit is so glove perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But they improved, and their roster got better. And for a team that desperately is looking for ball handling, like, look at how they drafted. Look at what they did. They added some and it'll make them better.
The thing about it, and I think I agree with Eddie here and you as well. I think they both improved. I think the perception of it though is like if we're talking about like top championship contender, New York didn't have as far to go as Minnesota did. So when we talk about New York got to championship contender status, they only had to go one step. Where I know Minnesota was in the Western Conference Finals last year, but a lot of people looked at them like, I don't know if they could do that. They're probably like two steps away from the NBA.
No, I I'm that person. Like right. I completely agree with that because they would have had to do all of that again at a higher level, and right. I just didn't see that.
So the Knicks maybe didn't have as far to go in people's minds, and also the Knicks. This is the Knicks adding Mikal and
well, that's Kat. And that's so where I get stuck. Damn. You've got a lot to figure out pretty quickly. Where I keep getting stuck with this team is it's a lot like you brought up Philadelphia earlier, Eddie. Like Philly, that's an entirely new basketball team.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I talked to Tyrese Maxey, excuse me, before the season. We'll probably end up putting some of this stuff out, but like he was. Mentioning that too, like we got to take time and learn each other. Because I'm like, how do you think it'll help your game, PG? He's like, I don't know. I have to get in camp and play with him, you know. Like, so there is a learning curve, and very rarely do we see these teams just completely, you know, reform their offense in an offseason and just instantly be better. Now, will the Knicks be better by March? Yeah, for sure. Will the Sixers be better by March? For sure. But there's going to be some growing pains. Philly, especially, like PG and Joel, they occupy a lot of the same space, and that was an issue that they had with Kawhi and PG in LA as well. So, like, they have to figure out how that all works. I think the thing we'll see with them that we saw when they had James as well, Tyrese Maxey just plays on a different speed than Joel wants to play, than PG wants to play, than James wanted to play while he was there. So there's going to be a little bit of decision-making that has to happen about, like, how exactly are we going to play with this team? Right. And I think Maxey showed his point guard chops last year. Now he finally got the full range to do that. I'm big on that team. Like, I'm big on that team. Even if you're not a huge Paul George fan, and I'm not, I'm big on that team because he provides a lot of what they needed and what they lacked. And if they stay healthy, and if Joel stays healthy, and he says he lost all his weight, he did not look great in the Olympics, so I kind of don't care if he lost all that weight. If he stays healthy, they're going to be one of the toughest outs in the playoffs, and I'd favor them, a fully healthy team, over everybody but Boston. Mm. I need to see them run up and down the court and defend Boston, and that's what scares me for them.
I hear you. I am a PG fan, so I'm a believer in PG. So I like PG.
I believe he was your MVP a couple of years
ago.
I called him the Gen Z GOAT.
Oh, they love him. They love PG. I want to be like PG. In theory, it makes sense, too. 6'9", can handle, can shoot, or whatever the case may
defend.
Be. Yeah, it makes sense. So, look, this is a great time of year. Talk basketball. We got games on or whatever. We don't have to talk about wide receivers. We don't have to talk about trade demands. We don't.
Why
have
you do
to
that
talk...
to him with 1 minute left? Why did you do
because,
that?
Because we ain't got time to talk about it.
There you go.
They are 2-2. They did win last week. Yeah. Everybody.
I interviewed Max Crosby this week, right? So I want to make sure we throw that in there and we talk about the Las Vegas Raiders. But yeah, man, 2-2. We 2-2.
2-2, and they got Denver. Yeah. And their could be 3-2.
And their coach can't go to college for the next decade.
Well, you know,
so
he can't go to college.
He can't go to college for the next decade.
Hey, man, somebody said, man, it sounds like, you know, just dudes talking. So I appreciate this segment. And, man, the way I have to not cuss when I get on here, I'm so comfortable talking to y'all. And especially when you bring up the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'll keep it cool, man, and say I have cautious optimism. And I'm ready for the draft picks that we're going to give for Devontae Adams.
There you go.
Go ahead. Man. Enjoy New York. He's coming to see you.
He coming to the Complex Studios. That's what he's doing. He gonna be
man, how much help they need out there on that team, man. Go ahead, man. Tell him.
Eddie, we appreciate you, dog. Thank you, brother.
My man. Appreciate you,
dog. See y'all soon.